Now more of the Evan Solomon Show with special guest host, Jamil Giovanni.
Hey everybody, Jamil Giovanni back here with you, filling in for Evan Solomon. And we are moments away from bringing you live breaking news from Premier Doug Ford, who will be joined by the Education Minister of Ontario to unveil plans for reopening schools in September. We know that there are a lot of people who have been waiting on the edge of their seats for this news. I mean, it's a big deal. If you're a parent, if you're a working parent, if you are a person for whom where you send your kid is pivotal to the decisions you're able to make about how you spend your time and what you do during the day, this is a big deal. We know it's a big deal. I mean, I think about folks like my mom, you know, working class, single mother. This kind of news being a month away from the school year is critical for how she would make decisions for her family. And I know there's so many listeners in a similar position where you're sitting there looking at the calendar and you're saying, we're 4 weeks away. We're 1 month away from school restarting and still not knowing what that's going to look like. There are really important questions that we're hoping the Premier and the Education Minister will be able to answer today. How many days a week will in-class school be available to students? Will there be a different plan for elementary-aged kids versus middle and high school-aged kids? What about PPEs? What about other kinds of supplies needed to keep people safe? Well, who's going to pay for that, and how will that be made available to students? And what are we going to do as far as contingency plans are concerned to make sure that if there are any issues, that there is a plan in place so that we can react quickly and make sure people are safe? There's a lot of questions still up in the air. Will kids, what size will your classrooms be, right? I mean, will kids be going back to regular size classes? Will they have to be smaller? What happens if your kid takes a bus? Is the bus going to be safe for kids? And we've seen so many recommendations coming in. You know, we've seen the Ontario Liberals making noise. I mean, they're, you know, fighting to have their voice heard and come back to relevance, but they're making important points that need to be considered. The public sector unions are talking, the teachers unions are talking. We saw recommendations from Sick Kids Hospital about kids having to wear masks if they're in middle school. Will Ontario embrace that recommendation, or will they make all kids wear masks? There's a lot up in the air here. And the thing about this is, like, these are all questions not only are we entitled to have answers to, but that we need to have answers to in order to move forward with our families and make sure that our kids are continuing to learn and grow and develop. And equally importantly, that parents are able to go back to work. And so there's been a lot of anticipation here about that. Some of you may have seen that other provinces are ahead of Ontario in making these announcements. Yesterday, British Columbia, for example, made an announcement about their school reopening. And basically what they decided is that most students will return to school full-time in person, but not all students. They also talked about learning groups, which is a bit of a unique concept, instead of classrooms, where you'll have up to 60 students who are elementary aged and groups of 120 students who are high school aged, who will go to school together, almost like a cohort, or what we've heard in other contexts, a social bubble. The BC government also announced they are going to need to spend at least $45 million to help schools prepare for the year when it comes to cleaning expenses and hand washing stations and additional supplies. So, you know, that was BC's announcement yesterday. We'll see. Is Ontario going to do a similar approach? Are we going to take a different approach? You know, Alberta, we talked to Jason Kenney last week about Alberta's approach, and they're basically just full-time reopening. Not really much of a change from a normal school year, just putting more supplies out there for people to have cleaner schools and minimize potential transmissions and infections. But Alberta's taking a pretty strong approach in terms of moving forward, getting things back to normal. Saskatchewan has taken a fairly similar approach in terms of making in-class learning available for all students of all ages. Immediately, Manitoba, also very similar. You know, what's different, though, of course, between Ontario and some of these prairie provinces is that we've had a much higher number of cases. You know, we have a much larger population, much more densely populated province. than the prairies are. So it makes sense that we're going to need a more nuanced and more complicated plan than what you might find in a Saskatchewan or Manitoba. And that's what I believe has taken our province a bit more time to put a plan together, is that we really need to be mindful of transmission and not having schools be the source of additional waves. We're expecting this to begin any minute for the premier and the education minister to unveil their plans. You know, they're running a little bit behind schedule, but, you know, expected. This is a big announcement, and it's something that a lot of people are waiting on. So, of course, you know, we're happy to wait, but we will bring you that breaking news as soon as it is available. You can trust us to bring you this information as soon as the press conference begins. You know, some of the other things that I know that people have asked about is in terms of the amount of teachers that would be required to hire, and the number of staff required to hire in order to operate schools. It's another important question. And that report that we talked about earlier this week that suggested it may cost $3.2 billion to reopen schools in September, that figure was largely based on an assumption that we would need to hire 17,000 more people. Now, I don't know if that's actually the number we're going to need, because as many of you know, online learning and other technology gives us a lot more flexibility than we may have had in previous generations when dealing with a problem like this. So there is a possibility we wouldn't actually need that many people. But that's a question the government's going to have to answer. How much is this going to cost, and how many people are we going to need to bring into the education system in order to make sure we can safely reopen schools and deliver public education in a way that's best for young people and what's best for parents. And you know, this is an opportunity for us, I think, to really put children and families at the center of this decision, right? I've been a critic of the education system for a large part of my career, arguing that it has not been centered around children and families. It's often centered around politics, teachers' unions, school boards. This is an opportunity for us to really put kids and parents in the middle here and make sure we reopen schools with their particular needs in mind. And that is what my hope is for what we are going to hear from the premier and from the education minister. We are expecting them any minute now. And sorry, do we have them now? Awesome. Okay, great. So Premier Doug Ford, Education Minister Stephen Lecce, they are now starting their press conference, and we will hear what is happening with Ontario schools.
Good afternoon. I am Lauren Cole, the Member of Provincial Parliament for Whitby and the Chief Government Whip. I'm proud to be here today representing the people I have the privilege of serving. It's an honour to be able to welcome to our great town Premier Ford, the Minister of Education, Stephen Lecce, Deputy Premier and Minister of Health, Christine Elliott, the Minister of Infrastructure, Laurie Scott, the Associate Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Barbara Yaffe, and the Parliamentary Assistant to the Minister of Education, Sam Osterhoff, to my riding. It's also a pleasure to be here with my fellow Durham Region colleague, Lindsay Park, the Member of Provincial Parliament for Durham Riding and Parliamentary Assistant to the Attorney General, as well as MPP Dave Smith for Peterborough-Kawartha and Parliamentary Assistant to the Minister of Energy, Northern Development Mines and Indigenous Affairs, and our outstanding local school board representatives, who are remarkable advocates for excellence in education and continue to be strong role models in our community in maintaining confidence in publicly funded education. I'm certainly pleased to be back at Father Leo J. Austin Catholic Secondary School, as it is just one of many institutions in my riding that provide our young people with a top-notch education that prepares them for the jobs of the future and sets them up for lifelong success. Over the past few months, I've been touched by how parents, students, and teachers in Whitby have stepped up in so many ways to give back to their community during COVID-19. Every Friday morning, I witness my dedicated neighbors picking up Community Care Durham food boxes, which they deliver to support vulnerable residents in Whitby who are unable to safely acquire the essentials needed. Thank you for the difference you're making in so many lives. Now, while we want to see more of our students volunteering their time and doing great things for our community, I think we can all agree that there's something even more important than that this fall, making sure that they can return to school in September safely. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to invite to the podium the Premier of Ontario, the Honourable Doug Ford, to provide an important update on our schools for September. Premier Ford.
Well, thank you, Lauren, and well, good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be here with our all-star team, Minister Lecce, Minister Scott, Minister Elliott, MPP Dave Smith, MPP Sam Oosterhoff, MPP Coe, and MPP Park. Lauren and Lindsay have been absolute champions in the Whitby-Durham, advocating for better transit, better schools, and better health care. And it's clear today that they're delivering for the families and the people they serve, including $29.4 million for a brand new high school to replace Paul Dwyer Catholic High School, and $5.5 million to renovate Mary Street Community School. And I'm so happy to be here with a true champion, Whitby Mayor Don Mitchell. Mayor, you've done an incredible job, and representatives from the Durham Catholic District School Board, thank you for the incredible work you've been doing to keep our kids safe, our teachers safe, and the school staff safe. My friends, I know the last few months have been hard on families. To all the mums and dads out there, thank you for being the true superheroes in the fight against COVID-19. You're doing your best balancing work and childcare while making sure our kids keep learning. And as a proud father of four hardworking girls, I can tell you that nothing is more important than that. But I know it's been tough, and I know kids can be a handful, especially when they feel cooped up at home all day. So thank you to all the incredible parents out there doing your part, putting our children first. And I also want to thank our teachers for doing their part to help our students learn from home during this pandemic. I can tell you, my friends, our teachers in Ontario, they're top-notch. At the start of this pandemic, they adapted, they did everything they could to keep their students learning. And I know it wasn't easy. So thank you again to all our dedicated teachers. My friends, during this pandemic, keeping our kids healthy and safe has been my top priority. We were the first province that made the difficult but necessary decision to close schools back in March. This decision put strain on families. But now, looking back, I know we made the right choice. And since then, our most senior health officials, our best experts, the top doctors in Ontario and Canada, including world-class experts at Sick Kids Hospital, have been working around the clock on a plan that will ensure a return to classrooms this fall in the safest way possible. Because when it comes to keeping our kids safe, I won't take any unnecessary risks. And that's why the plan we're announcing today is backed by the latest science and the best health advice available to us. And as Sick Kids has pointed out, we need to weigh the risks of COVID-19 against the harm of school closures. We need to consider the toll it's taking on the physical and mental health and personal development of our kids. We know isolation has been extremely hard on them, not being able to see or play with their friends. We also know our children, especially the younger ones and those with special needs, need the benefit, guidance, and routine of in-class instruction from their teachers. The fact is, we know more about this virus than we did when we first closed our schools, and we know what to do to stop the spread. My friends, we're going to get our kids back to school in a way that looks and feels as much as it used to. 5 days a week, 5 hours of instruction a day with lunch and breaks in between. We've consulted with Dr. Williams, Dr. Yaffe, Ontario Health, the experts at Sick Kids Hospital, and our local public health experts. Parents, we want you to know that on September the 8th, you can drop your child off at school, knowing that every possible measure is being taken to keep our children safe, knowing that there's a detailed plan to keep our kids safe, a plan developed by the best healthcare experts and top doctors available to us. It's a plan that puts the health and safety of our kids first. It will include important public health measures such as mandatory masks for staff and cloth masks for students from grades 4 to 12, with exceptions for those with medical conditions, cohorting of students to limit contact with other students and staff, expanding testing in our schools, frequent cleaning of the school buses, additional health and safety training for the teachers. We're investing over $300 million, to be exact, $309 million immediately to hire 500 new public health nurses to help in our schools, 900 custodians to enhance cleaning, and the required supplies to keep students and staff safe. We're also ensuring every school follows the provincial guidance on what to do in the event of an outbreak. I'll let Minister Lecce provide more details about our plan in a moment, but I want parents to know this plan was developed by the top health experts in Ontario, and it's a plan that will ensure students get the best education possible. Teachers, we're looking out for you as well. We'll make sure you have the masks, supplies, and protocols you need to teach safely and protect your students. We're taking every step and every precaution to be ready for September. While we're facing an unprecedented situation, we're prepared for anything, armed with the best medical advice available to protect your child at school. With these measures in place, our classrooms will be as safe as we can make them. Because when it comes down to it, our children belong in school. Thank you, and God bless the people of Ontario. Now I'll pass it over to Minister Lecce.
Good afternoon. I want to first off thank members from the Durham Catholic School Board for welcoming us here to Father Leo Austin School. I want to give a shout out to Sam Musterhoff, the parliamentary assistant, for being a strong leader within education, as likewise to my colleagues from Parliament who are with us, Minister Scott, MPP Coe and Park, the local MPPs, as well as MPP Smith, and all members of our caucus who are present today. In June, the Premier and I made a commitment to parents that we would provide final clarity on how schools will be able to reopen safely, and that we provide choice for parents who are the highest authority when it comes to their children. Today, we are here to unveil a plan to do just that, a plan that was developed by the best medical leaders in this country, Ontario's Chief Medical Officer of Health, the COVID-19 Command Table, the Hospital for Sick Children, parents, students, and many of our education partners. I also want to thank school boards for their immense work they've done over the past few months, including here at Durham Catholic, navigating from very uncharted waters. I now want to lay out our plan to get Ontario students safely back to school this September. First, all publicly funded elementary schools will be reopening province-wide in September 5 days a week. This will also include a safe reopening of the childcare sector to permit operators to reach that full capacity as of September 1. That's a promise the Premier and I have made to moms and dads of this province, and it's a promise we intend to keep. Second, most secondary schools will reopen under an adapted model that limits the size and the interaction of cohorts. As we have previously laid out, groups of 15 students will alternate between attending class in person and online. Secondary schools with lower risk profiles will be able to reopen with a full return to class in person 5 days a week. As we've always said, we will continue to respect the choice and the authority of parents, the choice of whether to enroll their children for in-school instruction, the choice of determining when and if they feel comfortable with their child re-entering school during the year, and the expectation and delivery of live, online, teacher-led, synchronous learning for their child when they're not in school. We know that the last few months have not been easy for everyone, but I want to take a moment to acknowledge the impacts this has had, as the Premier noted, on children across this province. We've heard loud and clear from medical and pediatric experts that COVID-19 has had profound mental health impacts on our kids. And now more than ever, reopening schools is crucial to the social-emotional development of Ontario students. It's also crucial to allowing parents to return to work and to support Ontario's economic recovery. We cannot and will not allow students to return to school without the necessary support and resources to enable them to confidently return and feel safe from the start. It's why we're investing over $736 million more than last year in public education. Now, this includes $10 million of net new funding for mental health and over $15 million to greater increase access to technology for students. Now, today, I'm proud to announce that our government is further supporting the reopening of schools through a range of targeted rapid response investments totaling over $300 million. New money for masks and personal protective equipment for staff and cloth masks for every student in this province. Over $75 million for cleaning supplies and school custodians. Funding to enable crucial health and safety training for all educators, including those occasional teachers and supply teachers. $30 million for additional staffing based on board's needs on the ground. And over $50 million for the hiring of 500 public health nurses to be embedded in our schools to support surveillance testing and treatment of students. We're also enhancing screening and contact tracing. And for the first time, we are implementing a targeted surveillance testing program for secondary students. We are increasing investment for special education as well, and we're asking boards to ensure students with exceptionalities are in class for the entire week. To support these students, I'm proud to announce an additional investment in funding of $10 million. This will support hiring more EAs, specialized equipment, and whatever else it takes to support the continued learning for those kids. Finally, we're adding another $10 million in funding for mental health supports for students. This is on top of the $10 million that we already announced last month, meaning that our already record investment under this government in mental health is truly unprecedented. We're being cautious. We're taking extra health and safety measures. We are putting in the necessary dollars, and we are supporting parents through this process. Because as the Premier, the Deputy Premier, and I have said all along, we will do whatever it takes to keep your child and our staff safe in this province. And I know it's important for parents to know what the child's school and classroom will look like when they return. And I want to talk to you about a few of those elements. First, on masking. Cloth masks will be required for students in grades 4 to 12, based on public health advice. For our youngest learners, masks will be optional. This consistency will protect all children, parents, and communities, and is directly responsive to the evolving public health data and advice. We're also providing all educators, staff, and students with proper PPE to ensure they can return to work and learn with confidence. Second, as noted, we're providing 500 public health nurses in the schools. In our secondary schools, they will assist with surveillance testing strategy, which will be key. This is on top of our already familiar concepts of cohorting and physical distancing. We will also be supporting public health efforts by continuing to promote our screening protocols so that students and staff do not show up to school if they have any symptoms of COVID-19, even if they are mild. Folks, we've pulled out all the stops for the 2 million students in this province. And let's be clear, our students deserve nothing less. This plan will evolve based on the evolution of COVID-19 and the risk to communities across the province. I just want to end by saying thank you. Thank you to our parents, our educators, and our all-star students. You've truly inspired me and our province, and you have led the way. Thank you.
We'll go to the phone line for questions. Just a reminder that it's one question and one follow-up.
First question comes from Caroline Alfonso from the Globe and Mail. Please go ahead.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my questions. My question is for the Education Minister, please.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, Minister, why are there no physical distancing measures in place for elementary schools and high schools?
Indeed, there are distancing measures in place for schools. The aim is to preserve 1 meter of distancing in conjunction with masking, which the overwhelming consensus when I've sought perspective, both at the command table and external council, SickKids and CHEO and others, is that the importance is on doing a suite of actions, on countering this with a combination of efforts to mitigate the spread and protect kids. By having the 1 meter distancing in addition to increase hand hygiene, in addition to the screening protocols, the testing, the embedded public health nurses, and likewise the use of masking, we believe this will be safe for both elementary and for high schools in Ontario.
Follow up.
You mentioned that in high school, students would be cohorted in groups of 15 or approximately 15. But I don't see that happening in elementary schools where we have grades 4 to 8 classes, where the average class size is 24 or 25, so classes could be bigger. Why are we seeing smaller class sizes in high school but not in elementary school?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I mean, the advice I have received from public health is that the risk is greater amongst those older children in high school. It's the basis why we are providing proactive testing of students in schools in the secondary panel. We're doing that on that advice, on that basis. We believe that the plans for elementary and high school remain safe because we've enhanced custodian spending by an additional $75 million to keep these touch points clean. We've also put in place a mandatory mask policy, which we think will help improve the learning experience ultimately by keeping these kids safe no matter where they are. And so we think as a combination, all the actions we put in place will keep students and likewise staff safe. That's the reason why we put out all of these actions, in addition to, for the first time, embedding a public health element to our protocol. I think we are the only province that will have 500 nurses that will undergo that training in infection to help ensure we better respond to challenges that emerge on the ground. And as I noted, in high school, in those regions with higher risk, they're going to be having, as you noted, an adapted model, meaning the quantum in school is 15. Well, we're able to increase distancing at that number. We're reducing the classroom by roughly half. That will allow for more distancing in addition to masking, and a combination that will keep these kids safe.
Next question.
Next question comes from Stephanie Smythe from CP24. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello there. And this question is to start with the Premier first, please.
Hi, Stephanie. This is the first time you called in.
Hello there. I just wanted to ask Premier that you have announced that parents can decide if they want to put their children in school in September, and if not, they can opt for remote learning. But what about teachers and staff who might not feel satisfied or safe enough to head back into the classroom?
Well, they always have the right not to go into the classrooms, but you know something, I'm a big fan of the teachers. They've done an incredible job. They really pulled through when it came to online learning, and I just want to say I'm grateful for all the teachers out there. And I guess they're going to have to make that decision, but I really wish as many as possible, if not all, could show up to the classroom, because they've done an incredible job, but we really, really need them. The parents need them. The province needs them. We all need the teachers to come into the class when possible.
Follow up.
And just a few minutes ago on TV24, we had Harvey Bischoff on, and with the OSFTF, he's the president of the High School Teachers Union. He was saying to us that there's been absolutely no input from them, given from you to them, even though they've tried to have all kinds of consultation with you through this process as they head into September. He says you have flatly rejected many of their offers, and there's been no meaningful consultation on this path. What do you say to that?
Well, I can tell you, I've never heard from them once, but what we are doing is consulting with health experts. And before I pass this over to Minister Lecce, you know, we're relying. It's not my plan. I've always said from day one, I'm not the health experts. We have folks like Dr. Yaffe. And by the way, I'm going to give Dr. Yaffe a shout out. Talk about unsung heroes. People, you've heard of the Dr. Williams. You've heard of all the other doctors. I've mentioned Dr. Yaffe. But Dr. Yaffe has been the backbone of public health with Dr. Williams. And just she's instrumental in making sure that we're moving forward on all fronts, be it education or other fronts. And the reason we're at 88 cases or 89 cases is because folks like Dr. Yaffe, and she's been leading the charge, and I'm just so grateful. But I'll pass the question over to Minister Lecce.
Well, thank you. I will echo the Premier's sentiment about Dr. Yaffe and the broader medical community at the command table, who've been so consequential in the development of this plan and ensuring that it seeks, it is advised by and informed by the best emerging advice we have to de-risk the circumstance, to improve safety, and ultimately ensure that kids can return to class. And the Premier made a note about the low numbers of COVID of yesterday and today, the 2 days consecutive under 100. That is amazing. That is because the people of this province have adhered to the advice both on distancing and hand hygiene, et cetera, and that is truly an inspiring reality. But folks, what I will say, if I may, and I'll answer your question, is we have to continue to build momentum to flatten this curve if we want to ensure children can return to class each and every day. This is going to take a collective enterprise of all Ontarians continuing to stay absolutely focused and resolute on getting to the finish line, because our actions today will have a consequence on learning tomorrow. And by working together, keeping that Ontario spirit alive and well, I really do have trust that kids could return to work, our economy will reopen, parents get back to work, and we will just get back on track as a people and as a province. Now, we've consulted widely, indeed, over 100 meetings led with our union partners, with school boards as well. I chair a weekly call with chairs. We've been listening to everyone in the education ecosystem, and we value our frontline workers. I mean, between Sam and I specifically, although I know Lauren as well as Lindsay have been doing a variety of consultations with community parents and educators, but we've spoken to a significant complement of frontline teachers. And what I heard overwhelmingly was three things. One is they wanted to have PPE provided to them, which we have done for every educator, every worker, every supply worker in this province that enters a school. Two, they wanted to ensure that students wore masks, and we followed the advice to mask from grade four up based on the emerging evidence available to us. And third, they want to ensure we have a strong, robust outbreak management plan informed by science and evidence, and we have done that. And I think that really is an important demonstration that we're listening. We've also enhanced dramatically our cleaning investment of over $75 million. I mean, just to contextualize what that means, folks, we're talking about hiring over the next month over 1,000, upwards of 1,300 custodians in our schools. We're talking about additional $25 million to make sure that hand sanitation products and, you know, materials are in our classrooms, and soap and et cetera is present in our schools. That's $25 million in that. So, you know, I think what I can signal is we're listening. This plan, responding to the emerging health data, I think underscores that principle. But I would also say is we will respond to the risk as it emerges. We will continue to be there for our schools, for our boards, for our teachers, of course, but of course for our communities as we work together to flatten this curve and ultimately keep everyone safe in Ontario.
Next question.
Next question comes from Chris Rushowy from the Toronto Star. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good afternoon. My questions are for Minister Lecce. With regard to wearing face masks, I'm just wondering if you can talk a little bit about why Ontario decided to go in the direction it did with face masks for kids from grades four and up. The pediatric experts were sort of divided on masks for younger kids. So why didn't you err on the side of caution and include all students?
Well, thank you. Just to be clear on our policy is to it's a mandate masking from grade four up. The evidence presented to cabinet overwhelmingly was it is less effective in the earliest years, that kindergarten to grade three constituency. It may have counterintuitive elements if they don't know how to wear it or they touch their mask more. And perhaps this is a question best positioned for Dr. Yaffe in that respect, and I'll turn it to her in a moment. But the evidence that coming to cabinet was clear. Masking in schools in combination with other actions will help reduce the risk in schools. That is the overwhelming perspective, and it is very much expressed in the Sick Kids report noted yesterday that masking certainly in that secondary constituency will be important. Now, I can't speak to other provinces. What I can say is Ontario stands alone in ensuring that we are involving all of those elements of masking, of 500 nurses, of proactive surveillance testing of asymptomatic students in Ontario. And so, look, we are informed by global jurisdictions who have done this. We're learning from their lessons, and we're trying to ensure we do not repeat them in this province. And that's why we have made the decision to go forward. As the Premier noted, there will be some exceptions, of course, for, you know, students who may have pre-existing respiratory condition or, you know, special education children or kids that may face some anxiety as a result. There will be exceptions built in, naturally. We're encouraging school principals and teachers to have an element of discretion to find some breaks for masking, maybe outside. I mean, all these things are provided in the guidance document. But fundamentally speaking, if we can maintain masking in addition to everything else, we will keep our schools safe. I'd like to permit the follow-up for maybe Dr. Yaffe, if you'd be comfortable.
Thank you very much, Minister. And thank you, Premier, for the shout-out. That was nice. We are in a world now where we have COVID-19. And it's not going away at this point. And so we need to continue to be vigilant. And one of the basic measures that we are recommending is masking. Any time where you cannot be sure that you're going to maintain the 2 meter physical distance. And so in the school setting, this is something we are recommending as well, as was said, from grade four and up. There will be times where they will have to take the mask off. We'll have to have the nurses train the staff and the children as much as possible on how to take off a mask properly, how to store it, how to put it back on, and so on and so forth. And that's one of the many reasons why we're going to have nurses attached to the schools, public health nurses. Younger children probably won't be able to keep a mask on. It's encouraged. It's entirely really up to the parent and the individual child and their ability. But we will continue to evaluate and monitor how it goes and learn as we go. There are different opinions in the scientific community. I think the general consensus is that wearing a cloth mask is recommended if you cannot maintain the 2 meters physical distance as a protective measure to protect those around you and also to some extent to protect yourself. So that is why it is part of the protocol at this point.
Follow up?
Thank you. My second question is also for Minister Lecce, and it's with regards to funding. So you've committed to $309 million. Unions like QP said that in order to hire even one custodian per school, they need about $270 million. They've estimated the cost of hand sanitizer and supplies at about $70 million. Extra teachers might also be needed in high school. So I'm just wondering if you can explain how you arrived at the $309 million figure and if you think it's actually going to be enough to cover all of board's expenses.
You know, this government is investing more in September than any government in the history of Ontario. We've already increased expenditure in public education for every single school board by north of $700 million. Now, that was based on that assumptions on an adopted model 1 month ago. Where now, as we revert to a conventional model, we're making clear we're going to have the resources and funding in place to ensure that they can do so safely. And so, in order to do that, we've actually added more investment in cleaning. $75 million. We're talking about hiring, as I noted, north of 1,200 custodians in schools, $25 million for more sanitation, which is a significant increase to the already existing funding envelope of $75 million for cleaning in our schools. I mean, on buses, we've added $40 million to provide cleaning supplies and additional staffing if required to clean these buses, thorough bus cleaning while in between routes. I mean, it's these types of actions which I think underscore we're putting more money in place. I mean, if you benchmark this jurisdictionally, Chris, in British Columbia, the Democratic government of British Columbia is spending less than half Ontario is when it comes to the net new contribution when it on a per capita basis for students. We are putting more investment in place because when we said we'll do whatever it takes, this plan underscores that premise. I think what we've also signaled, though, is we're going to be responsive to the risk and we're going to be there for our students, for our school boards and our educators. We're not going to let them down. We're going to demonstrate as this challenge manifests in Ontario, we will respond accordingly, as we are doing today with over $300 million of additional investment on top of that $700 million incremental increase in the grant for student need, which is that vehicle to funding for boards that is now up at a historic level.
Next question.
Next question comes from Lucas Meyer from News Talk 1010. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. And this kind of builds a bit on the cohorting question around elementary, as it is really either for the Premier or the Education Minister. Obviously, you said you were going to put in more money. You have $310 million. But is the decision to not go to cohorting in elementary, what the cost would have been to do that, even just 4 to 8, not even K to 8, 4 to 8, did the cost consideration play any role in that?
Just so we're clear, students in elementary school are cohorting. Every elementary school class will be cohorted, and I will just be very clear, absolutely not. I mean, the fact is we are cohorting elementary students because by virtue of the way the program is designed, kids are with generally one educator throughout the day. It's actually much easier to cohort in elementary school. The challenge actually arises in secondary when there's more optionality for kids as they move up with their electives, 1 and 9, 2 and 10, and then, of course, a lot more in 11 and 12. We've opted in the high school school model to choose a quadmester system where we intensify the courses up front, opposed to a child taking one course every day over the course of a semester. We're intensifying the same amount of hours of instruction, but limiting the amount of teacher-student interaction in a period of time. And so elementary students will be cohorted. Remember that, you know, when you look at kindergarten, there's a ratio of 2-1 in those early years. In grades 1-3, the class average is in and around 20. And remember, for that panel, that is the smallest in Canada by far. And so we're going to continue to ensure that if there is a need for additional staffing, we've provisioned $30 million to hire more educators or EAs or assistants that will be required to ensure we can achieve that safe return for September.
Follow-up?
Thank you very much. Just to be clear, though, it is based, that's why I was asking the question, because it's based on the averages and not on the, you know, the one teacher. So I just wanted clarity on that. But on the nurses, and Minister, you can either take this, perhaps Dr. Yaffe would like you.
Sure.
Can we get a little bit of elaboration on just how many nurses are we looking at, even just on the designated school board side, on the elementary side? I think, you know, what are parents, what should they expect when they drop off their kids in terms of that nurse's composition? Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Sure. I'll be very brief, and I will indeed turn it to Dr. Yaffe. But the concept of hiring 500 nurses in our schools, working closely with local health authorities, is to do two things. One, in part, is to go where there are challenges. If there's any flare-ups in the province, we are able to rapidly deploy health practitioners right into our schools to support screening, to support testing when required. And as noted, we have a strong testing element that is unique for Ontario across the country. And likewise, to support any symptom treatment for these kids, and likewise for staff. So that is an important element of their mandate. The other aspect of it is to be sent in proactively to help reduce the spread in schools if it is existing, if the transmission exists within the community. Sort of lock them down, enhance the screening protocols, and really help the school administrators keep these kids and our staff safe. So they have multiple roles. It is unique. And I just want to say thank you to the Minister of Health for working so closely with the Ministry of Education, breaking down the silos of government, because we are dealing with a pandemic, and obviously ensuring that that health lens is part of everything we do is critical. And the fact that we have a strong surveillance testing regime that will be significant for secondary students in addition to the public health element, I think underscores the fact that we've listened to the medical community in this respect. But I'll defer to Dr. Yaffe for additional context.
Thank you, Minister. We are looking to hire up to 500 nurses in public health units across the province. How they will be distributed with respect to the 34 health units has not yet been determined. It will probably be by school population proportionately. They will have a very important role. We won't have one nurse for every single school. That would be way more than 500, obviously. But they will be working very closely with a small family of schools, each of them liaising, educating, supporting the parents, the parent councils, the teachers, the other staff, the administration, and so on, and obviously part of the public health unit. So they are going to be the link to help make sure if anybody is ill, that things are done properly, public health is notified quickly, that the protocols are followed and understood to ensure access to rapid testing and contact follow-up, which is the core function of public health in an outbreak. And if there is an issue in a school, that nurse would be on site at that school as much as possible to work with everyone and make sure that the protocols that we have worked through with the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Education are followed and measured and evaluated, and that things are done as best as possible to protect the health of the children and the students. So the nurses will play a very key role in working with education and health on keeping everybody as healthy and safe as possible.
Next question.
Next question comes from Cynthia Mulligan from City News. Please go ahead.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Premier, I'm wondering why mandatory testing isn't required regularly of teachers to catch anything before it might erupt.
I'm sorry, Dr. Yaffe, but you're going to have to come back up here. I always refer to the medical experts.
You know, I think a lot of people think that testing is going to really solve the whole problem, and it isn't. It's one component of a response. If you test somebody today, you only know if they're infected today. And in fact, if you're testing in a population that doesn't have very much COVID, you'll get false positives almost half the time. That is, the person actually doesn't have COVID, they have something else, they may have nothing. So it will just complicate the picture. On the other hand, if we have evidence of a case, even a suspect case in a school, all the contacts of that case, be it a child or a teacher, would be tested, regardless of whether they're symptomatic or not. That is something we've learned with COVID. It's very important to do that. That is when we might be identifying people who are asymptomatic and infected that need to stay home and wait till they're cleared by public health. Doing testing on all the teachers would be a huge amount of resources taken away from the need for quick access to testing when somebody may be symptomatic. We also need to do screening for symptoms, and everybody needs to be educated about the symptoms to look for, and not go to work if you're sick. Not go to school if you're sick. Those are the things that are important, along with hand washing, distancing, masking, all the things we're talking about. Testing will not actually achieve anything other than take resources away from other places they need to be. Thank you.
Follow up.
Thank you for that. My next question is for the Education Minister. Hi, Minister.
Hi there.
I'm wondering, the Premier was saying that teachers, if they don't feel comfortable to come back to teach, they don't have to. But I'm wondering what that actually means for a teacher. If they are older, for example, or if they feel they're immunocompromised, do they have to provide a doctor's note? Will they still get paid? What are you going to do if you have a large number of teachers in this situation?
Yeah, you know, we appreciate that for some educators, both based perhaps on age or a pre-existing condition, that they, based on their medical advice, ought not be in a congregate setting with other students and other staff. And of course, we will respect that decision. School boards will respect collective agreements. But having said that, what we have also indicated is for those educators that cannot be educating or teaching in a classroom, that there's an expectation that they can teach online. There has to be a value proposition for our students and the taxpayer of this province that while we respect and will ensure their job is protected and they're able to be in a safe space to teach, they must therefore still speak. They must therefore still teach. They must continue to provide that work. And we believe that they can, because we can provide that safe space for them to do so, to support the many students who will require virtual learning, be it in the adapted model in secondary schools and those higher risk communities, or likewise for those parents who just opt to put their child in an online class, virtual learning, in September and beyond. We actually need more educators to do that. And so there's a way to synergize between those that cannot teach in class with those that can teach online to create greater value from them and to respect the health reality that they may have.
Next question.
Next question comes from Natasha McDonald from Radio Canada. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is for Minister Litke.
Okay, hi there.
Hi, so in a lot of French schools, grade 7s and 8s are grouped with grade 9s to 12. They go to the same school, they may even share classes. So does this mean there could be a different set of rules for students within one school? And if you could answer the question in both in French and English, thank you.
Sure, I'll turn it over to Sam to do so in French. You know, obviously, one of the key elements of our plan, as noted, is, yes, cohorting, which is critical to the efficacy of this, both in elementary and likewise in high school. We are changing and staggering bells busing, class times, start times, end times to really reduce the amount of interaction within those cohorts. And in fact, our indirect and direct cohort numbers in Ontario are actually smaller than those proposed by BC yesterday. So we have really given thought to how we maintain the integrity of the cohort, obviously complemented by, you know, intensive screening, likewise testing, and the general sort of hand hygienic protocol that's being enhanced for September, we believe will allow them to be safe and allow them to continue to learn. But I'm going to turn to Sam to deliver that in French. Pardon me.
Merci pour la question. La première priorité de notre gouvernement, comme le premier ministre a dit et aussi comme le ministre a dit, est la sécurité et la santé de nos étudiants et nos étudiantes et aussi de nos enseignantes et enseignantes. Et avec ce plan, c'était désigné avec beaucoup de collaboration avec des experts médicaux, des experts dans la santé publique et avec beaucoup de collaboration aussi avec nos conseils scolaires. Et quand nous continuons cette discussion pour promouvoir le cohorting, par exemple, ou pour les salles.
All right, everyone. Well, we just heard from the Premier of Ontario and Education Minister of Ontario about the plan to reopen schools. Some number of really important things have been addressed here. For elementary-aged students, they will go to school 5 days a week. They will have full days. They will be in what seems to be normal-sized classes. But there will be a number of things introduced to as far as cleaning and PPEs and different measures taken to introduce safety. For secondary schools, it's a little bit more complicated. We're going to hear back. I'm sure the Minister of Education is going to be asked more questions about that. So let's go back to the press conference and see what the media has to say.
Natasha? We'll go to the next question.
Okay. Next question comes from Travis Danrash from Global News. Please go ahead.
Hi there, Minister. How are you going to know if self-screening is actually happening, and how can you be sure that this strategy is going to be effective?
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to turn to Dr. Yaffe for this. I think what an element that I'd like to communicate is just the importance of an element of cooperation, as we always have looked to parents in respect to being very honest about the symptoms of their child and ensuring that if there's any symptoms at all related to COVID-19, to ensure that they stay home and are isolating for that period of time. This plan and the ability of kids to continue learning week after week really is dependent on that social contract with parents, with citizens, with young people, with all of us having a role to play to do our part to reduce the risk and to continue the practices as advised by public health in this province and country. So the screening elements will be in place. They require parents to be part of that process. And likewise, having a stronger complement of health practitioners within our schools, helping to ensure that we actually have training of every single teacher, including supply teachers, who, as to Cynthia's question, that we may need in this province, every single one of them will have heightened health and safety protocol training to better position themselves to be part of that solution should they see a challenge. And there's a clear protocol in place to isolate that child should they have a symptom, to call the local health authority to inform the school board, and likewise to call the parent immediately to have that child removed to be isolated and to be in the comfort of their home. But I will refer to Dr. Yaffe for additional context.
Soon, Stace.
Thank you. Yes, we are very much hoping that parents will take this very seriously. It is for the health of their own child and for the health of the other children and the teachers and the staff in the school. So part of it will be training and educating and supporting parents in what to look for and what to do if there are certain symptoms, and to report that to the school and not let the child go to school if the child is not feeling well. They may need to have medical attention, they may need testing, whatever. If we let children go to school when they're ill, I think people will understand that that can very easily spread this infection, and we don't want an outbreak in a school. We don't want to have major issues in a school, and I think parents understand that, and they need to know what they need to do. What is their role to keep their child and others safe? And as well, as Minister Lecce said, the role of the teachers and the staff, and they will be educated as well in what to look for and what to do. What is the protocol that they should follow if one of the children in their class is ill? How can they make sure the child is isolated appropriately? Calling the parent, calling public health, and making sure that that child is has the right attention that they need, and that also they're not spreading whatever infection they have to others. So it's a general responsibility of the school community, and we need everybody to be together and work together to keep everybody as healthy as possible, given that this infection is still with us. Thank you.
Follow-up, and apologies, this is the last question.
I take from that it's the honor system. Minister, my next question is for you. Elementary classroom sizes will not be reduced come the fall. I know you say that there will be cohorting, but the cohorting is going to be what it regularly was for elementary schools. And many classrooms are already packed as it is. How are you expecting physical distancing to realistically happen in these small spaces? And how are these guidelines in keeping with public health recommendations when it comes to social circles?
Thank you. I just want to, if I may, build on Dr. Yaffe's point about that obligation and role that we all have. I also just want to encourage parents to take very seriously public health recommendations on vaccinations ahead of the start of September. That's going to be really important as we look to the flu season. And I know together with your cooperation, we can continue to reduce risk in our schools and for our families and our communities. With respect to elementary school, just a few notations, just to be clear, in kindergarten, for example, the benchmark of space in kindergarten rooms are actually much larger than those in secondary, for example. There's also, unlike in secondary, there's a 2-to-1 ratio of roughly 12, 13 to 1 for students to staff, which would not exist in high school, where it'd be 23 to 1. And, of course, as noted in grades 1 through 3, that is capped at 20 students, which is smaller, and therefore distancing is allowed to be achieved under that scenario. And keeping in mind for those in grade 4 and up, we are introducing masking, age appropriate for that age and above, likewise while still preserving the 1 meter distancing. And we believe, as noted, the layers of prevention, the robust suite of options we're implementing in addition to those public health elements as enumerated by Dr. Yaffe, I believe will ensure that these elementary kids can province-wide return in September with confidence. And if it requires us, based on the emerging evidence, to do something else, to add another layer, to take another action, we will, because we've been informed by every decision we made on the advice of public health to keep kids safe and our of course, our educators and our staff. I think I'm just going to refer to Dr. Yaffe on the circles.
Yes, we've all certainly been able to develop our own social circle or bubble, up to a total of 10 people who we can interact with without protections. That certainly continues. I think that's an important element of keeping us all healthy and knowing who we've been in contact with if in the circumstance that one of us does become ill. However, we can't keep that for schools because it just wouldn't be workable. And I think we are now looking at, we have flattened the curve. We have, at this point today, I think we had 89 new cases, which is good. We're under 100. Let's hope we stay there. We're doing our best. But as we open up society and go into stage 3, we need to look at the children's health, and it is not healthy for them to keep staying at home. They need to go to school. They need to go to school for their development, for their health, their physical, social, and mental well-being. And so we are doing it in the most healthful way we can, but it is beyond the social circle, obviously. But we are looking at cohorting. So in the circumstance where there is a case in a school, we will be able to get the information from the school in terms of who was that individual in contact with in the period they may have been infectious, which is usually up to 2 days before some symptom onset. And we will be able to contact those people and test them quickly. So it's not a social circle, but it is a cohort, and it's going to be very useful for us in the instance where we do have a case for contact follow-up.
Thank you, everyone.
That's great. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.